Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture is Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6 and 14 through 16. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadows of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." For he will deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is like a shield and defense. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
If you've been to the movies lately, or, you know, there are lots of ways that we watch movies these days. But if you've been to the movies, you know, seen the trailers that show up before movies, or seen the ads that include movie previews, I wonder if you've noticed the same trend that I've noticed. It seems like everything is a survival story. Maybe you've seen, I'm particularly excited about this, maybe you've seen the ad for the new Tron movie, where the digital world breaks into the real world. Maybe you've seen the ad for, this one's been a long time coming. I loved this book when I was a teenager. It's called The Long Walk. Mark Hamill's going to be in this film, not in a very Luke Skywalker role, by the way. It's really a movie that's a dystopian present where reality TV takes on a deadly role. Maybe you've seen the ad for a movie called Greenland Migration, which is actually a sequel. I guess in the last one, and I didn't see it, I guess in the last one, the world is coming to an end with meteors or something and extinction-level event, and so they have to find shelter. And in this one, they have to leave shelter to go find something else. I'm not sure. There's this sort of a progression that happens in some of these end of times or everything's going wrong kinds of movies where everything goes wrong, everything gets dangerous, maybe the entire world is dangerous, and people try to make it through. There's sometimes a backpack, or you're trying to get to a shelter, or a scramble to find a flashlight or a radio or a way out. You understand. And partly, the reason that we understand is because it touches something real for us. Because many of us know what it feels like to think that way, to keep track of where our water supply is, to make sure it's fresh water, to know where our flashlights and candles are, to know where our batteries are for those flashlights. Because, I mean, it's either that or just to walk around always bracing for the next thing. We just have to watch the news. Really, I mean, we've experienced it ourselves in some ways. We see it when we watch the news. Maybe we know someone who's connected with one of the devastating fires in Southern California. Maybe we've seen smoke with our own eyes because the LA area, the Pasadena area, are not the only places that have experienced fire. Or maybe it wasn't fire, right? Maybe it was flooding. Maybe it was rolling blackouts. Maybe we got that notification on our device that our child or our grandchild's school was on lockdown and we were just waiting for the all clear. We've lived through enough of this that it's not hypothetical anymore. It's just life. It's the way it is. I'm not saying that we live in a disaster movie. But I do think a lot of ourselves have trained ourselves to expect the worst. And that doesn't mean that we're all pessimists. It's just the way it is. Because bad things have happened. Because not everything turns out fine all the time. I bring this up, I illustrate it this way, because that's the community that Psalm 91 is written for. The first readers of Psalm 91, they didn't live in a world where everything's okay. They needed shelter. They needed more than platitudes. They needed more than thin theologies. They needed more than those simple and overused phrases that are designed to comfort but never really do. They wanted to know, as we do, that God is here. And the psalm opens with confidence. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, no evil shall befall you. I will deliver them. I will protect them. I will rescue them and honor them. I get why we might want to lean into those parts, because there's comfort in the sound of it, especially if we feel like the world is unstable. But also, like, I can see how maybe these parts can be a little bit misused. Because like, if something goes wrong, maybe it just means that you don't have enough faith. Or if something bad happens, maybe God wasn't with you after all. That's not theology. I mean, if it is, it's bad theology, in my opinion. Frankly, it's more like superstition. Because I don't think God's a charm bracelet. I don't think God's a magic genie who grants our wishes. And I don't think that's what this psalm is about. Professor Timothy Hessel Robinson is someone I've quoted before from Bright Divinity School. He puts it this way: it will not do for Christian worshipers to pretend that faith helps one avoid doubt, fear, or difficulty. Such suggestions risk promoting a talismanic approach to faith professions, rendering the claims of the gospel implausible or alienating those who experience hardship by suggesting they lack sufficient faith to prevent such circumstances. See, it doesn't help to hide our heads in the sand and claim that nothing bad will happen. That's not faith, that's avoidance. And it doesn't stand up to real, authentic study and engagement of our sacred text. It just doesn't fit. The psalmist knows the world is dangerous. I mean, the psalmist literally lists out the kinds of things that people are afraid of. Terror of the night, arrows that fly by day, pestilence that stalks in darkness, destruction that wastes at noonday. It's a courageous thing, I think, to name the things we fear. The psalmist's language is real, it's authentic, it's deeply personal. Professor Hessel Robinson continues, the psalm's imagery, language, and cadence resonate with those who find themselves dealing with fear, anxiety, pain, or some other significant challenge. So it's not about some hypothetical danger. These aren't poetic words to, I don't know, make us feel better. They name the things that we're afraid of. They name what people both then and now are living through. And it doesn't really take much imagination to update that list. Violence, war, illness, job loss, isolation, injustice. These are current realities. Current realities, real fears of today that people we know, or maybe we ourselves are living through today. And in the middle of this, Hessel Robinson helps us to find the power, the powerful and beautiful core of the psalm. Just as remarkable as the vivid evocation of danger and fear is the psalmist's testimony of assurance that God is present and active regardless of circumstances. Psalm 91 is a testimony of assurance. Even when danger is real, God is still present. God shows up in the middle of the darkest moments when we acknowledge that it's always darkest just before the dawn. We might just see the first glimmer of God's light over the horizon. And in verses 14 to 16, those glimmers come to us directly in the whisper of God's voice. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect them because they know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Friends, the grammar is the first person. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Again, the language is in first person. The relationship is named because they know my name. The actions are specific and tangible. Deliver, protect, answer, be with in trouble, rescue, honor, satisfy, show salvation. Professor Hessel Robinson shows how this meets with God's hurting people. Psalm 91 shows us that we will only gain an awareness of God's presence to the extent that we let our worship resolutely seek God, not in spite of, but in light of human suffering. To those who gather for worship longing for a felt sense of God's presence, Psalm 91 offers a way to reach to God without either drowning in suffering or fancifully imagining that all is well. It assures us that God is available to us in every circumstance. Another theologian, Donald McKim, adds some pastoral clarity. Believers are not exempt from troubles and embarrassments in life. God doesn't promise us a life of ease and luxury. Rather, God protects us in all our troubles because of who God is, the faithful God. These verses give us language for trust. Trust rooted in knowing God's name. Trust spoken as promises of presence and care. Trust that can be prayed when danger has been named. We started today acknowledging how, you know, we know to prepare for emergencies. We know to prepare with real and tangible things that we can reach. Again, we know where the water is. We know where the batteries are. We know where the flashlights are. We know how to turn off the gas. We have the list of people to call. But I wonder if maybe we can also keep Scripture close in the same way. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I wonder if we can keep these words where we can find them, whether they're written down in the same place as all those supplies or we hold them in our heart so that we have them when the darkness falls. This call and response series has been a kind of a broad conversation in four parts. We started with wonder. Wonder in a God who knows us, a God who loves us. Then the second week, we talked about integrity, the importance of living our faith in a way that is actually discernible, where people who are not able to see the words in our hearts, the faith in our hearts, where people outside of that can actually see that we're faithful people by the way we live in the world. Last week, we talked authentically about lament, telling the truth to ourselves, telling the truth to God, telling the truth to each other. And today, we talk about trust. We talk about a God who speaks promise directly to us and personally to us. as people of faith, we can practice this. At least I think we can. I think we can practice it every day. We can take real and tangible action. We can keep calling on God by name. We can keep telling the truth in prayer and in community. We can keep showing up for one another in ordinary ways. We can keep trusting in the one who says, I will be with them in trouble. The series, as we draw to a close, is called Call and Response. And I want you to know the theology behind it. The theology behind this series is rooted in a God that calls over and over again. Every single one of us, God calls us. And I believe that people of faith can choose to respond. And I don't mean are compelled to respond. It's an invitation. I don't believe it's forced. And I believe that when we respond authentically and vulnerably and completely, the world becomes just a little more humane, just a little bit more like God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so with this in mind, I'd like to practice. I'd like to practice it today with a simple call and response that we can carry with us maybe into the next week, maybe beyond. God is with us in trouble. 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 This is the hope. This is the hope that we carry with us as we conclude this message today and also this series. Not only does God call and invite our response, God listens when we call, and God answers with promise and presence. A promise that holds us in ordinary days and hard nights. Friends, we are known. We belong. We are held. And so as we bring the conversation to a close, we do so with trust. We do so with trust because, friends, the conversation with God continues. As we gather together in community for worship, that gives this conversation language for a while. And then our response, our lives keep speaking that conversation. And each and every day becomes the next part of the call and response. God is calling, my dear friends. Trust in God with wonder and integrity, even in lament. And respond.